All right, everybody. Welcome back to Reclaim the Present podcast. I'm your host, Jay. We got Colleen and Jen.
Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Rocking it as co-hosts. And, you know, with my sister, Jen, having as much time as she's had as an educator and getting that master's level of education, and with it being kids coming back to school, what are some of the things that the parents could know about teachers, what they do in that first month, what their expectations are, what, you know, even going into the lesson planning and just what it takes to begin the educational process for the kids. So the parents, maybe they could be a little bit more flexible. Maybe they could be a little bit more understanding about what it takes to teach a room of 25 or a room of 30 kids starting the school year. So I guess, what say you, Jen?
Whew, that is a lot. Well, let's see. I guess I'll start with telling you that I was a educator for 15 years of the middle school persuasion. So I was mainly working with seventh graders, and I was teaching social studies. And so that's basically my perspective. And I would say that the first thing that you need to know about teachers and how hard they work to get this all set up to best support your children in obtaining an education and being in a safe environment and just everything that goes into it. I can tell you that if I knew how hard teaching was, I wouldn't have been such a jerk kid. I can tell you that first, because it is one of the hardest things I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. Because, you know, it is a job of the heart. You put your mind, heart, and soul into every single year, broken down into every single moment with the kids. And, you know, especially in the public sector, you have children coming from all sorts of different backgrounds, different nationalities, just there's a huge spectrum. And my first thing would just be give grace on both accounts. You know, your kids are growing and changing as well each year, and their needs are going to fluctuate and change too. I mean, we already know teachers have already been put through so much in the last couple of years. And we're still digging out from the pandemic, guys. Like, that is not, like, just because that is over, that is not over. We're still digging out from that. We still have kids who have developed such a high level of anxiety, and depression, because they've spent so much time on their screens. You have kids who are struggling to be able to even interact on a social level with each other. They've kind of forgotten how to play, just all sorts of things. You have kids who have had trouble getting meals all summer. They don't know, you know, they're not maybe coming from a safe place. Maybe their summer was hell on earth. And then that first day of school, you're presented with all of this, all of these beautiful little lives just show up at your classroom door. I could like cry just thinking about it.
It's all good. Let it out.
They show up at your classroom door, and you just want to be the best person you can possibly be for them. And you smile, and you just, it comes from your soul in these beautiful little people who allow you into their lives for these 9 months. They allow you in. And you just try to soak it up as much as possible. And so you greet them at the door, and you smile at them, and you might show them to their seat, or you might just let them pick their own seats, so then in a couple of days, you know exactly who not to put them by, you know? And And then you start to develop this environment where learning can take place, and it is a safe, risk-free environment. And there is so much work that goes into creating that type of environment. And it all happens behind the scenes at first, because your kids come into that classroom and they're just kind of looking around, you know, like they're trying to size the teacher up. They're trying to size the class up. Your classroom already sort of sets your expectation as to, like, what, you know, is it clean? Like, yes, it should be immaculate. Like, this is how we leave this. This is what this looks like.
And just to interject, this is for private education or public education.
Absolutely.
That the students are like, hey, they're sizing up the classroom and the teacher, and the teacher sizing up the students. I mean, this is going any school that you go to, this is what's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this is where, you know, you hear those veteran teachers that are like, yeah, don't smile till December. I used to laugh about that, but I understood what they were saying. It's like in those first couple of weeks, kids are going to act on their best behavior. And so you have to prepare yourself. Like, you really have to set those strong boundaries. And they have to know exactly how you want them to behave when they step into the threshold of your, because if you don't, in those 2 weeks when they have gotten a little bit more comfortable, then you start to see the shenanigans, you start to see the attitudes, you start to see the behaviors. They're like, whoa, you weren't doing this a week ago. No, they weren't comfortable yet. You know, they were still bringing their persona. So when you create, which is, it's a good thing. Like, yeah, that means that you've created that safe space. I mean, I remember, like, middle of the year, I had these boys that would come in and we'd be working on, like, projects and stuff, and they would just, like, take their shoes off. And I'm like, you, like, this is your living room now? And they're like, I mean, you don't mind, right? I'm like, no, I mean, I guess make yourself comfortable, you know, like, I'm glad you're, you know, like, but, like, you kind of stink because you're middle schoolers. So if we could keep that to a minimum, but, like, that is the kind of environment that was always so important, you know? And so there's all sorts of different ways that, you know, your teachers, your kids' teachers are going to try to get to know them on an individual basis. And, you know, the really, really good teachers, they aren't just going to sit there and be like, so what did you do for summer vacation? Hell no. They've got this whole entire orchestrated game where, you know, like, I did it with, like, Starburst, like, the pink Starburst is you're going to tell me something you love about yourself. The yellow Starburst is you're going to tell me what one of your favorite things to do is. The red star. And so, but they don't know this, like, ahead of time. So you're just like, hey, who wants a Starburst? Of course, kids want a Starburst. They run across the room, they get the Starburst. And then we, like, unpack all of the things. So that would be, like, an example of, like, a risk-free opportunity for, you know, kids to get to know each other, whatever. And see, that seems like a small thing, but what it really did is it allows us to introduce each other, but also, like, hey, when I'm passing something out, don't run across the room to go and get it. When you need this, I need you to go do this. When you have a question, please raise your hand. I will come over to you. And just kind of showing them in that small way, like, the flow of the classroom. But the other thing you guys have to keep in mind is that all of these little beans that come into your room, no matter what level of an educator you are, they all have different needs. No one is coming with the same package. And the more you can get to know them on an individual basis, an individual level, it's obviously beneficial, but that is very difficult when you have a classroom of 25 to 30 kids and, you know, you've got your curriculum, you've got all of the things, you've got all the tests, you've got everything that, you know, is supposed to line up and you're supposed to be at this place and this day and blah, blah, blah. And Bobby over here is struggling and we don't have time for Bobby to struggle. We got to push Bobby through. But it's like, well, you know, can so-and-so help Bobby move through this? And then, like, there's so many different little aspects of it. And then you're like, you got to throw in the love as well, because these kids have to be feel loved and encouraged and safe above all. And think about all of the ways that our kids are challenged these days to feel safe. If your kids spend any time on social media this summer, I can guarantee you at some point in their time, they did not feel safe because their friends are attacking them, people who are supposed to be their friends. They've got stuff coming at them from all angles, from their parents, from their teachers, from social media, from their coaches, from just life in general. They're continuing to get the message of, you know, I'm not safe. I'm really never safe. I can't really let my guard down. Well, if you can't get kids to let their guard down, then they're not taking in new information and they're not learning anything. And as much as people like to think they can push through that, you can't. You can't push through that. So teachers will spend a really big chunk of time in the beginning of the year building those relationships, building their classroom, building up the idea that when you walk in this room, here's what you can expect from me. Here's what you can expect from this classroom, from this subject, from everything. And some parents might look at this and be like, this is all just fluff. Like, when are they going to get to the stuff? But here's the thing. When you take the time to take the time, then it won't take so much time. When you set up those expectations, when you set up the management piece of it, yes, it is painstaking. Yes, it is tedious. Yes, after you have told a child for the 15th time in a day, you cannot get up and sharpen your pencil when I'm speaking to the whole entire class. Like, yes, it does. It does cause some tension. It really does. But it's necessary, because if you don't do that, you will be doing that for the duration of the whole entire year.
You gotta set boundaries.
You do. You absolutely do. And boundaries are good, and structure is good. And so kind of in this whole entire mix, you know, your teachers are making sure that everyone is taken care of and everyone does have a lunch and that everyone is being supported. And we haven't even talked about the freaking curriculum yet, guys. Mm-hmm. We're not teaching social studies yet. This is just setting up the classroom and the classroom expectations. The other thing your teacher might do, they're going to ask for your kids' input. I know when I was teaching, I wanted my kids to set the classroom rules. So we had like a big open discussion, like, hey, what do you think a successful classroom looks like? What do you think needs to be put in place to have a safe, risk-free learning environment? And then we would just brainstorm and we would talk about it and we would do the big, you know, web on the board. And so then from that point, we would end up creating individual classes, because remember, I was teaching middle school, so I had six classes. Each class had their own set of rules. They were basically about the same. But then that class took responsibility for those. And remember, I didn't come up with it. So then when the kids would fight back and be like, well, that's not fair, I'm like, then make a new freaking rule. I'm not the one that came up with it. You are the ones who collectively decided that this was what was necessary for the environment. You get a lot more buy-in that way, you know? And so I think that the more we can have that, just that open communication. And also, by the way, speaking of communication, if you have middle school kids, because remember, I didn't have the little people. I can't speak from the little people world. I basically mean like anything from, because I even put sixth graders a little bit in the little people world, anything from seventh grade on, you must have your child advocate for themselves. Do not send emails to the teacher like, well, so-and-so is having trouble with their locker, and I was wondering if you could maybe go. No, they must be able to advocate for themselves. You know, if they're in a school, I mean, there's likely at least 200 other kids in the school. If they'll get swallowed up. They have to be able to advocate for themselves. So you have the conversation as the parent with them, like, hey, how's everything going? So-and-so, I'm struggling with my locker. Hey, that is something that always happens. I know that there is a huge amount of anxiety with that, especially in like the sixth grade with the lockers, the combinations. Teachers teachers are more than accommodating. I believe me, they will help. We help anybody who is in the hallway will help them. We can see a distressed child from a mile away. And so, yes, as parents, like, it is very hard to let your most beautiful, precious, just blessing to walk out the door and walk through the schools and trust other people to have the love and the care and the everything you pour into your child. And yes, that is a scary thing to expect other people to love your child the way that you love your child. But you have to be able to step back a little bit, and you have to be able to trust the people who are in charge when you're not there. And when you see things that arise that you don't like, send an email to the teacher. Don't go above the teacher's head right away. I mean, if you're not getting the response that you want from, you know, your teacher or whatever, then maybe go above their head. But for the love, don't blindside your teacher.
I got a quick question on that. So if I do send an email, what should my expectations be for response time? What would be an appropriate response time to communication with the teacher, just to kind of set that tone right off the bat?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So if I send an email to my teachers, my kid's teacher, I don't want to hear from that teacher until like the end of the day. Because if the teacher is worried about their email, they're not teaching. Like they're worried about everything else. Now, obviously, if it's like an SOS type of email, whatever.
Sure.
Like, break protocol and get a hold of the teacher somehow. But yeah. Like if it is a, you know, I needed to let you know that so-and-so and whatever. Like I would not expect a return email from the teacher until they are done with their teaching day. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that's a reasonable amount of time. I mean, teachers do get a lunch break. Do you want your teacher taking their lunch break to return an email to you?
No,
I don't. I want them to enjoy that lunch. They definitely, and they're, you know, teachers, they're not enjoying their lunch anyway. They're scarfing it down to, you know, get to the next thing and whatever else they can do.
Or they're sharing it with the kid that forgot a lunch.
Exactly. Exactly. It for real. It's so true. And another thing from, you know, from the perspective of letting go a little bit, especially in the middle school, I know it's very difficult to let go. And I always had the conversation with my kids, as you know, I call them my kids, but the students as well. And I would say your parents have taken care of you from the time you took your first breath. And every time you needed something, they ran to you and you have needed them and they have nurtured you and loved you. And so here you are now. And now they're letting you out of the nest and you're out here and you're flying around and they're terrified. They just want to keep you safe. That's all they've ever wanted. Yeah. So give them a break.
Yeah.
Give your mom and dad a break. Give your whoever is taking care of you a break. When they ask you, like, how was your day? They care. They want to know.
Yeah.
Let them in. Keep the communication going. And I always used to tell the parents the same thing. It's like, this is going to be a new journey for you. They don't want to tell you everything. They don't want to tell us everything. Only believe half of what you hear, because we only believe half of what we hear as well. Because you wouldn't believe the stories that some of these kids come in and tell the teachers. Like, you just stare, scratch your head and like, I don't even know what compartment to put this in. This is, wow, okay. So it's just, you know, we talk about that partnership of like the parent and the teacher and everything like that. And so, you know, we need parents to be the partners. Like, yes, when you have your child at school, the teacher is the parent. You know, there's a reason why there's laws called in loco parente. It literally translates to when you're at school, I'm the parent. So it's kind of like it's a balance between the two worlds. And if your child is acting in a way that doesn't really support the learning environment, then there's going to be consequences to that. And the teachers might have to be the ones to try to teach them how to properly manage their emotions and things like that. Now, in a great, big, wonderful Care Bear world, parents are doing this already. Parents are teaching kids how to manage their emotions. Parents are teaching kids how to handle disappointment. Parents are teaching kids how to share and care and all of this. But we know that that is not the case. So also add this piece to the teacher's palette as well, because that is a big piece of what teachers do. Constantly teaching kids how to manage their emotions. Because remember, if kid can't manage their emotions, not only are they affecting the whole learning environment, they're not taking in new information either.
Well, and to your point on that, John, it almost seems like in some cases, most of the classroom needs to be taught what their emotions are to begin with.
Very much so.
What are my emotions and where are they on my body?
Sure. And especially with, you know, your little people, you can start to kind of implement where you can. We had.
You're talking about Doug Knowles, who wrote the book How to Calm an Angry Person in 90 Seconds or Less.
And we talked about like de-escalating a situation and things like that, and talking to your kid and really calling it as it is, like, oh, you're angry right now. And where are you feeling that in your body? And kind of having that conversation. You know, as teachers, when we see things like this in the classroom, I mean, we aren't always able to pull a kid out into a hallway and have a 5-10 minute conversation with them. I mean, what are the other 30 kids doing in the class? Mm-hmm. So that is definitely a very difficult space, because you never want to embarrass a child, because that takes away from the safe environment, right? So I always would approach a kid by proximity. Maybe not even necessarily, you know, coming very, very close, but just close enough where they can sort of feel your energy there. And then just kind of kneel down, and you would say, like, you know, quietly, like, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? And, you know, and then if they were like, no, or whatever, then I'd be like, all right, well, just like, come with me. We're just going to stand. And I would stand just kind of like in my doorway, but away from, you know, the class, and like they couldn't hear, and we could just unpack a few things. Just those little touch base moments can make all the difference in the world. And I can guarantee you, all of your teachers are standing at their doors and they're watching every single child that is walking past them. Why are they doing that? Well, number one, they're greeting them. But number two, it's because most of your teachers also happen to be empaths. And if you know anything about empaths, empaths have this ability to read people's emotions. And so if you have a kid who walks past you and they're just not looking the way that they usually are, ding, 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 what is going on? So I would always make sure to touch base with these kids, just even a quick, like little like sidebar conversation, like they get working on their thing and I'd be over. I'd be like, hey, is everything okay? Everything going okay? And they'd be like, yeah, why? And I'm like, because you just don't look like everything is okay. And then we would, of course, unpack something and yeah, there was something wrong. And I would always have the kids come back when they were okay again and be like, how did you know? And I'm like, it's just an energy. I just know, like when mm-hmm. you come in the door, I just know you're not okay, because I know you, because I have like monitored and kind of observed who you are.
Established a pattern.
Exactly. I feel like I'm kind of rambling here, but I really need parents to understand that, like, there are so many levels that go into the day to day in a classroom. It is truly remarkable what teachers are able to do on a daily basis.
And so with all of that being said, and I don't think it was a ramble whatsoever, because what you did is you were able to unpack what that typical teacher the majority of teachers out there, whether it's public education or private education, what they are up against, what they are in for, what they love.
Yeah.
And what they're doing. So it just, when you say give a little grace, give a little patience, maybe open your mind and open your heart up that these people love their job because they love the children that they get to connect with and open up their little brains.
I mean, that,
and teach.
That is the reason why they're doing it. Teaching is so flipping hard. You have to love kids. It's the best part of the whole entire thing. If you don't, you won't survive. It is so freaking hard. Because remember, guys, we haven't even talked about the curriculum yet.
Right.
We haven't talked about the high stakes testing. Yeah. We haven't talked about, you know, what your administrator thinks you should be able to do, or the evaluations that you have to do, or the pop-in surprise things, or teacher anxiety, or, you know, the emotional, basically emotional abuse that teachers deal with yeah. all year long. Because all you hear about is, well, you know, you didn't get in this for the money. And well, obviously I didn't. I got into it because I wanted to help children grow into the best versions of themselves that they could. But at the same time, like, it's very difficult because you have to put all of your needs aside as a teacher because you have 30 people in front of you who have all the needs. So now you've got teachers who are being told, like, well, it's about self-care. And then they're like, okay, well, we'll put them through a seminar where we'll talk all about self-care and how they can get the best self-care. Instead of giving them time to set up their classrooms, now they got to go to some bullshit thing about self-care and how I can take better care of myself. And it's so frustrating because you're not in an environment that is conducive to self-care. Mm. You are in an environment where you are inundated with all of the reasons why your needs, they do not matter.
Yeah.
Because you have all of these little people in front of you.
Yeah.
And teachers take it. They take it every single day. Yeah. They do everything they can. There are not, like, when teachers leave school, they're not off work. They're even if they didn't bring work home, they're still thinking about your children. How can I help this kid? How can I tweak this? What system could I put in place here? Does this kid need to go see the counselor? You know, and it never stops. Like, you're constantly worried about your kids, especially if you have your high needs kids, you know.
And taking all of that in consideration, let's make a little list. Let's do a bullet list. So on the top, we'll call it grace. Let's start out with grace. Let's start out with patience.
Very much so.
Okay. Number two, fluid communication.
Very much so.
Let's have the child show up with fluid communication to the teacher in a respectful tone.
Yes.
And fluid communication with mom and dad at home, between the teacher and mom and dad.
Yes. I mean, the biggest issue, especially if you have middle schoolers, is, you know, from the littles, there is very good communication because the teacher is providing emails and all of this stuff coming back and forth. And then when you get into middle school, it is, it's like the cold, dark, lonely days because you're not going to get the class, you know, newsletter. You're not, and some teachers will do this, but like it's not.
The majority isn't.
It's not, because the expectation is that as your child is growing, they are their own advocate. And so ask your kid what they did. Well, my kid won't talk to me. Okay, well, figure out in a way that you can get your kid to talk with you. Because you're not going to get the communication that you did at the level that you did when they were in elementary school. You're just not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who are disappointed by that, but it's to help your kid learn how to manage themselves.
So the next bullet point under that, teach your child and work with your child on advocacy. And if you're having struggles with that at home, maybe that could be an email to the teacher saying, hey, just want to let you know, we're trying to teach our child Absolutely. How to advocate for himself. Do you have any recommendations?
Absolutely. And anytime that you know, have questions like that, of course, that is very helpful. Another thing I will bring up, if your kid at home, maybe they had like a horrible morning or, you know, that like even just the ride to school or whatever. We just did this little, like, it's just, it's like handle with care is the easiest way to say it. And it's just a heads up to the teacher, you know, send a quick email that's just like, hey, today, or like grandpa died or whatever, please do not send these children to school and have not communicated any of these needs with the people who are going to be around them for the next 8 hours. Because it just sets us up to fail. These kids cannot be supported the way that they need to be supported if we don't know.
Yeah, just a quick email. Hey, just want to let you know this happened or this happened. It goes a long way, you're saying.
It goes so, so, so far. Yes.
Okay. Well, hey, this 30 minutes was eye-opening for me. I mean, this is really eye-opening as a newer parent, even though my kids are going to have that more hands-on teacher. It's still eye-opening for me to be proactive with advocacy and start them at a young age. So I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, I just support in any way you can. Get involved with the school as much as you can, as much as they will allow. The more present you are, the more you will know what is going on in your kids' schools, and the more you can, you know, support the teachers, support the administration. Everybody is there for the good of the child. That's the goal. The goal is for the good of the child. So just keep that in mind and always assume innocence. Don't come right from the hip to look to attack. Always assume innocence, but gather the evidence. Look for the evidence, but always assume innocence.
So you would approach it with cautious optimism, or would you approach it with curiosity to begin with?
I would approach with curiosity for sure, because as we know, kids, when they are put into new environments, stressful situations, or structure that they're just not about, they're not used to it, they can have a little bit more of a, I can't think of another word, dramatic opinion and outlook on it. And then they bring it home to you and they're like, oh, so-and-so is the worst. And you, if you are that type of personality, you immediately are like, why? What's going on? What happened? And then it's like, okay, well, what really happened is so-and-so came in. I was talking. So-and-so got up to go sharpen their pencil. I reminded so-and-so that we can't sharpen the pencil when so-and-so is talking. And they became irate about being told that they couldn't do that right at this particular moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be something very, very simple like
minuscule.
That. It absolutely can.
Okay. Yeah. And if a parent blows their stack, they kind of set the tone. And as Colleen had said in previous podcasts, you never get a second opportunity to make a first impression.
No.
So if we want to set it off right, be curious, be involved, have fluid communication between the teacher and the parent right off the bat. Hey, looking forward to the school year. Thank you so much for all that you do. You know, and I'm available. Here's my direct contact information. If you need anything, let me know. I just sending a proactive email like that might set the tone for starting the school year too, from the parent to the teacher.
Totally could.
Looking forward to meeting you. It doesn't have to be parent teacher conferences. That's the first time we're talking to each other.
Oh no, it definitely shouldn't. I mean, you have meet the teacher nights and stuff like that. They do a really good job of, you know, doing those first day back schools, but then there's usually like a curriculum night first couple months in and stuff like that. So like as a parent, go to meet the curriculum or meet the teacher, like curriculum night. That's where you're going to really get a sense of the energy of the person who's standing in front of your kids for most of the day. That's where you're going to get the idea of what are they teaching my children? What is the content? What is the overall expectation? And what is this year going to look like? I mean, if you can't make it, obviously there's other ways you can get this information, but I'm telling you that is the best way to get the quickest snapshot that you can get.
Awesome. Well, Jen, thank you for using your expertise and your professionalism. I mean, I, I've seen the impact that you've made on the multitude of kids that you've taught over the 15-year period. And, you know, I've been that one at the grocery store with you where this kid comes up that, you know, is 15 or 18 years old. It was like, Miss Grubin, Miss Searles, oh, my God. You know, and they talk about the impact that you've made to them. So, you know, it's it really is an honor and a privilege to get your perspective and a great way to set the tone for the upcoming school year.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we hit it, guys. Bye for now.
Laters.
Bye.